Treasury's to order. First meeting of the year. It's Monday, the 7th of February. And Representative Dyson is here. Representative Harris is here. Representative Smalley and Representative Kapsner is here. We have enough to take care of business this morning or this evening. We have one item on the agenda, and it is House Bill 238.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really appreciate you having the meeting late on a Monday evening, especially since I know you're feeling under the weather. My name is, for the record, Representative Mary Sattler Kapsner. I represent Bethel and Dillingham, District 39, Bethel, Dillingham, and 28 villages. The bill before us this evening is House Bill 238. Its title is the Fisherman's Tax Obligation Loan Fund. This bill would reinstitute a previously existing program that was widely supported. What the program does is it assists fishermen in paying back taxes to the Internal Revenue Service, thereby rescuing Alaska limited entry permits from the continued threat of seizure. The Tax Obligation Loan Fund program was initially created in 1993. In the wake of threats by the IRS to seize the permits of fishermen who were found to owe back taxes. The program, and for those of you concerned about our fiscal crisis, it is a revolving loan fund, and it draws from the existing fishermen's loan fund, and it provides loans of up to $30,000 with a payback interest rate of 10.5%. And then the money goes back into the fund and then reissued to other people that have back tax problems. This bill isn't just aimed at assisting delinquent taxpayers. It assists all fishermen in the state of Alaska because when the IRS seizes commercial fishing permits, they are under no obligation to resell the permits for its real value. And in the sponsor statement, I put, which you all have, it says, in one case in 1996, the IRS seized the $30,000 permit of a Kenai fisherman and sold it for only $5,005. Such an action had the effect of devaluing all commercial fishing permits. Not only do they devalue permits, but they're under no obligation to resell them to Alaskan fishermen, I'm supposing because of the Commerce Clause. So it speeds up the process that's already occurring of more lower 48 fishermen coming up and buying our permits and taking away from our Alaskan economy. This bill was sunsetted in 1997, or the program was sunsetted in 1997. It provided 288 loans at a value of $6.06 million to fishermen from every region of Alaska. In 1997, my predecessor from District 38 had a bill in, and it went through the committee process without much objection, but it was held hostage in the Senate Resources Committee for an unrelated reason. And though the tax compliance has dramatically improved among Alaskan fishermen since the early part of this decade, or early part of last decade, I guess I should say, there still exists a need for the Tax Obligation Loan Program. The IRS still staunchly opposes the state's view that fishing permits cannot be legally seized, and the number of fishermen, unfortunately, with tax delinquencies has climbed since the sunsetting of the program in 1997. And with that, I'd be willing to answer any questions you might have.
Does the committee have any questions? Representative Dyson?
Yes.
Just one minute. I want to also state for the record that Representative Hudson came in about 5 minutes.
I think it was 3.5.
Representative Dyson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Kapsner, Sattler.
Sattler,
Kapsner.
What has been the payment performance of the people who have received these loans?
I think it's very high. I have with me Bruce Twomley, who might be able to answer that question better than I can. Would you like to join us?
May I? You've heard of.
Okay. Okay. Could you come up and join me and state your name for the record? and your affiliation?
Yes, for the record, my name is Greg Winninger. I'm the lending branch manager for the Division of Investment. Essentially, the repayment record through the chair, Representative Dyson, the repayment record on these loans is running about 10% higher than the rest of the portfolio. So they're a little higher risk loans, and we've had to work with these folks a little bit more than the rest of the portfolio. Our delinquency rate right now is running about 17%, and for this part of the portfolio, it's running about 27%. Now, a number of those commercial fishermen have either workouts in place or we're working with them on extensions, which they would still show up as delinquent until that paperwork is completed. So we do not expect all of those, or very many of those, in fact, to actually default.
I'd also like to put on the record that this is a one-time only loan program. So if people fall behind on their payments with the IRS at another time, they can't apply for this again. They cannot apply for this again.
If I may follow.
What does the state hold for security of the due defaults?
Score?
Yes, through the chair, Representative Dyson. In most cases, it's the limited entry permit. In fact, in almost all cases, it's the permit. And in some cases, we have other collateral as well, but typically it's the permit itself that we would hold.
And if I may continue, Mr. Chairman, and if they default, who's in first position, you or IRS? If they are concurrently in arrears on their taxes and both you and the IRS go after that permit, who gets first bite?
Through the chair, Representative Dyson, in those cases, we would have the first position in order to make the loan. In fact, part of the requirements of this program is that they have to have filed all of their returns with the IRS. In cases where the balance is larger than what can be handled through the loan, they would subordinate to our interest, so we would be in the first position.
And if I may continue, during the whatever many years this program was in effect, what was the delinquency rate like?
Basically, the program has been around for 5 years. In the early years, it was a pretty low delinquency rate because we were just kind of getting started with the program. I think where we're at now is about as high as it's been, actually, in the 5 years.
And finally, up to what percentage of the value of permit will you loan to?
The maximum allowed by statute is 90%. Many of them are secured much better than that, depending on the fishery, as they're relatively small loans. So, for example, in Bristol Bay, those permits are worth substantially more than $30,000. But the maximum we can go is 90%. Typically, we do not go above 80 or 85% at the most in practice.
Yeah. In this day, I would maybe suggest a 75% value. Is that addressed in the law? Is the percentage addressed in the law or in the regulation?
Representative Dyson, actually, there's a maximum in the statute that says we cannot go above 90%. We have policies in place which actually dictate that we loan less than that in most cases. Typically, we would go 85% at most.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's all.
Thank you. Greg, can you explain a little bit some of us who haven't been around here as long, how the Fisherman's Loan Fund came about, and since it's revolving, how does it is it somewhat similar to the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund, or is it different? Or
certainly, Mr. Chairman. Basically, the program was created in the early 70s, 1972, and the purpose was to promote a predominantly resident fishery. The idea was to try and help Alaskans continue to maintain control of the fisheries. There's been a number of changes made to the program over the years, and there were a series of appropriations made up until fiscal year 1985, approximately $60 million over a period of years. The fund has not received any general fund money since 1985. It's been completely revolving, and in fact has paid back all of the $60 million back to the general fund from the loan fund. We typically loan out around $15 million give or take per year, and there is sufficient cash flow in the fund to handle those loans and also to pay for the operation of the program. So it's essentially been self-sufficient since 1985.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Winninger, what's how do you relate, if at all, to CFAB, Commercial Fisheries Agricultural Bank? Are you similar to their operation?
The Chair, Representative Hudson, they are separate from us. They're not a state agency. They're actually a co-op, a fisherman's co-op.
They're owned by the fishermen?
Yes, owned by the fishermen, correct.
I see. And what is the current balance in your account, approximately?
The portfolio itself is around $90 million, roughly. And as I said, it revolves, and it kind of depends on repayments and the amount we loan out each year. But typically, we're running around that $15 million mark.
$15 million available?
Right, per year, right.
I see. Okay. And what, Representative Kapsner, what do you have any idea of what you anticipate the drawdown will be on that? These are new loans now, no duplicates you indicated. So do you have any idea approximately how much of that portfolio would be drawn upon?
Through the Chair, Representative Hudson, I don't know the exact amount. I do know that within this bill, the applicants have to be current and just, you know, threatening to be seized. They can't be majorly in default. They have to be current on their IRS obligation.
If I might, Mr. Chairman, I like this legislation because I co-sponsored it with Ivan before, and I think I really applaud you and I appreciate you bringing it back before us, because I hated to see the IRS seizing Alaska fishermen's permits and then selling them 10 cents on the dollar, or even worse in some cases there. So that's really good. Have we lost any? Has the IRS actually been successful in actually taking possession of Mr. Twombly? Would you be able to answer that, do you think, sir? Mr. Chairman, I don't mean to take over.
No.
Yeah, just trying to
say your name and affiliation for the record.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'm Bruce Twombly. I'm chairman of the Limited Entry Commission. And in answer to your question, Representative Hudson, the IRS has completed sales of various limited entry permits for various reasons. Those sales have not been completed, and the permits have not actually been transferred to date. But one has to consider the fishermen whose permits were affected to have been lucky in those circumstances.
Thank you.
Thank you. While you're there, has the commission taken a position on this in the past on supporting this, and do they take a position today, or do you, as an individual, take a position on this today?
Mr. Chairman, yes, the commission supports this legislation, and we support the comments of the sponsor. We were pleased last time when Representative Hudson, Representative Ivan sponsored the bill. We note that in 1997. Basically, this legislation passed the House by a margin of 34-4, and we were making essentially the same case at that time. The unique thing about Alaska fishermen is, I mean, like a lot of small businessmen who don't have withholding, it's very easy to slip into trouble with the IRS. When you couple that with things beyond fishermen's control, like run failures and market failures, which we've experienced recently, fishermen can get into trouble, and they are more vulnerable than lots of other small businessmen. For other small businessmen, they don't face the risk through IRS enforcement of being of losing their means of earning a living, of losing their livelihood. The fishermen literally have the right to fish at stake, and of course, that's a big stake to their families and those in their communities who depend upon them. And it's also the case for many fishermen in isolated villages. Limited entry permit is a big target for enforcement because it can be the only item of cash value that they hold. And unfortunately, it's a fairly easy target. It's easy to identify them. It's easy to evaluate them. If you are a tax collector with lots of demands on your time, it's very easy to select out a limited entry permit as a target and go for that, although the IRS recently has been cooperative in doing their own outreach efforts But what we are told by people who actually practice in the field, people like Jerry Leboff in Dillingham, Bernice Hayano in Dillingham, and the Alaska Business Development Center, is that having this program available really makes a difference. Otherwise, people are often left without hope. They're sometimes frightened, confused by the notices they receive, and having the program available makes all the difference in bringing them forward and achieving voluntary compliance.
Just another. I'll defer to Representative Dyson first. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This loan program that includes getting relief if the IRS wolf is at your door also allows for getting loans for vessel upgrades and gear and so on. I'm thinking that with the volatile nature of our fisheries, that 90% loans are perhaps unwise, at least from the position of the institution making the loan. And I'm thinking about changing, if it is in law, to 75 or 80%. But why would that be a bad idea?
That's directed to me, Mr. Chairman. Representative Dyson, the comment I would make offhand, and thinking about this for the first time, the loan program is the principal means, one of the principal means by which Alaskans can get limited entry permits. And there's a special element of the loan program that was designed for rural Alaskans, folks who have difficulty often getting credit from other sources. And, I mean, given if there's a lead lining to some of the troubles that some of our fisheries have fallen into, it's that some of the permits that were previously more expensive have come within reach of the special rural loan program. And I know some of the folks working with folks from rural communities have actually been successful in getting permits under the program as it is. If you reduce that percentage, it's simply going to cut off some opportunities for some people. And that's the kind of knee-jerk comment that I would make thinking about this for the first time.
And if I may follow, it may be on the situation of buying a permit that the 90% may make sense and may reduce the state's exposure. I'm not so sure that makes sense on tax obligations. Less comfortable about loaning 90% on the value of a permit on a tax obligation or the repair of a vessel. But that 90% limit you have is for all the categories in which you make loans. Correct?
Mr. Chairman, I've got to defer on that to Greg.
Again, that's the maximum we catch for, and we can go, we typically go much less than that for certain types of assets. For example, gear, vessels, we go much less than that.
And on the tax obligations, you go less than 90%.
Mr. Chair, I would say that's correct in most cases. There may be some that were fairly close in the smaller districts, especially,
I may safely assume that you guys are professional enough, mature enough, and wise enough that you don't need me to change the law in order to protect you from making dumb loans, right? Say yes. All right, thank you.
Representative Smalley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and through the chair to Representative Kapsner. I want to applaud you for bringing this legislation forward. It's good for Alaska. It's good for the industry. It's going to protect the value that those permits have, because I'm quite aware of what's happened to procedures in the past, especially on the Cook Inlet area and what they've done to the value of permitting. You made a comment that's a one-time loan program only. I know the previous law was sunsetted, so if an applicant for one of these loans had been a previous applicant, it's treated as new customer?
I'm going to defer to Greg.
To the Chair, Representative Smalley, the way I read Section 2 of the bill, it sounds to me like it would be qualified.
So I was wondering.
And I would be happy to stipulate that, to have a friendly amendment and stipulate that within this bill to preclude them from applying again and being eligible again.
Follow-up question. Do you have any idea how many fishermen in your area that qualified previously that may want to qualify now?
I don't have any numbers. I don't have any numbers on that from my area.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a follow-up to Representative Smalley's line of questioning, is there a reason why you would want to preclude an individual who has successfully procured a loan, paid it off, and has a need again to not have an opportunity to meet that need?
I think with the limited funds available in this revolving loan fund, the $15 million that is available, I think we would want to include as many. I mean, you know, you don't go back for seconds when some people haven't had their first try. I mean, maybe it's not necessary. I guess what I'm saying is that I am open to amendments on this bill to make sure that everybody's got what they need.
Then this is a question. The demand is greater than the $15 million at this specific time, or as you look at your fund and determine how funds will be drawn and paybacks will come back, do you anticipate that there would reach a point at which the fund was depleted for this specific need?
Chair Emerson Whitaker, I would say no. During the life, the three-year life of the program, initially we gave $6 million per loan, so it averaged about $2 million per year for that first 3 years. I would expect the demand would probably be less than that. I think the problem is not quite as big as it was back then. And so the $15 million should be able to cover that loan demand. And also in regards to the prior question, I know during some of the testimony, when the original legislation passed, there was some concern mentioned by various representatives that they did not want a program that was just somebody cash loan year after year after year. There was some concern about that. And I think that's where the one thing decision came into play.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, but I think we may have struck on something here. If a loan program is successfully making loans and those loans are at 10.5%, which is a fairly favorable lending rate for the lending agency today, I would think that there would be every reason in the world to do that if indeed the loans were secured by the loan-to-value ratio and it was essentially a good loan. That would be, is that a fair statement?
Chair, from my standpoint, yes, I would have no difficulty with that.
Mr. Chair, if I might, Representative Whitaker, I understand where you're coming from, but I think when this bill was initially introduced, people were worried, like Greg said, that every year, every couple of years, the same people would be coming back asking for help. We want our applicants to make sure that they know that this is a one-time deal, that they can only get bailed out once.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Just a point of clarification then on that similar point. It's one time for the tax obligation, but you could come back multiple times for both
upgrade
both
on your
upgrades or various other types of things like that. Is that correct?
That's correct.
There's no limitation on how many times you could do that as long as you paid your loan off type of a situation.
Yeah, for the upgrade on your boat or your equipment. But for tax obligation, that's a different story.
My understanding is that a few years ago when this was passed, that the sunset was put in there, and the fishing community basically said, you know, we're not going to go after this again. That's why they put the sunset in there. Are you familiar with that at all, or do you know what the terms of that were? And if they were that, do you expect there may be some problems with legislators trying to come back and say people may be going against what they said in the past?
Mr. Chairman, I wasn't a legislator when this was born. I do know that it does have very strong support in the fishing communities. that some fishing co-ops and fishing enterprises have done a tax obligation loan program on their own. I know one community development quota program, I think it's Norton Sound, has a tax obligation loan fund program, but it's not accessible to anyone outside their region. So we wanted to do something on a statewide level that would protect statewide fishermen or fishermen statewide. I cannot speak to what promises were made before this bill came about.
I
honestly can't remember, but I'm sure that there's the documentation behind it, perhaps even in your files somewhere over there. I think that it was like any other new program. The IRS was moving on permits and were flooding the market, and the state was concerned that it was going to be the IRS that were establishing values and decreasing values of other people, and we set it up on a, as we often do, on a sunset basis. But like a lot of other things, you know, if the program is working and people are being served and they have the funding, you know, in the program to make the loans, it's you know, it's a reasonable thing to at least consider legislatively reimposing it.
Any other questions? Any other info? Representative Dyson.
Yeah, move that we move this bill with individual recommendations. You guys can hear the testimony later.
In the next committee.
Which is our committee.
Well, we do have a motion. Is there any objections? Seeing no objections, the bill is moved.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Are we going to take the testimony from those that have called in?
We'll take it now, yeah, but the bill has moved, so we'll just tell. Anybody wants to stay around and listen to the testimony, we can, but
that's kind of discourteous to the people who are there. You know,
Mr. Chairman, who all do you have signed up for?
We have two people here. Bruce has already testified, so we have two people here, one from...
Chairman, I would move that we withdraw our motion to move it until we hear full testimony.
Okay, we're back on the record here with public testimony. In Dillingham, is Mr. Jerry Liboff here? Liboff.
Yeah, this is Jerry Liboff. Can you hear me okay?
The bill has not moved out of the committee yet. Your testimony will have an effect, perhaps.
It sounded like it passed almost unanimously, and I appreciate it. And that I'll just really briefly say my little piece and be done in 2 minutes or less. I'm a tax preparer, a commercial fisherman out here. I've been living out here for 35 years. And I do approximately 300 income taxes around these villages. I've helped a number of people fill out these tax obligation loans in the past, and they have worked wonders for, one, getting people back online, saving their permits for their families and their communities. And everybody that I've filled them out have been current and repaying the state. So it's been a win-win all the way around. Permits have remained in Alaskans' hands, especially in these villages. And it's a program that really doesn't cost the state any money, and it does tremendous, tremendous good for a variety of people out here. And I compliment you guys for passing it on and moving it, and I will be done. Thank you.
Hey, any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Terry Hoffery?
Hefferly,
I'm sorry. Terry, are you there?
Yes, good evening, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify. I appreciate all of the consideration that you've given this legislation. It will continue to do wonders in trying to help keep limited entry fishing permits in Bristol Bay and fishing communities in Alaska. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify.
Can you, Terry, can you state your affiliation, please?
Yes, the Bristol Bay Native Association.
Okay, very good. Anybody have any questions for Terry? Is there anybody else in Dillingham that wishes to testify?
This is it.
Go ahead.
That's the last call we have right this evening.
Okay, thank you very much. Do we have anybody in Bethel? Bethel, are you online?
You're showing online. It says muted, and that's on their end.
Okay. Okay, I guess we don't have any public testimony from Bethel.
Bethel is online, Mr. Chairman, but we only have an observer at this time.
Okay, you have nobody there to testify?
Not at this time.
Okay, well, they better be there now because they're about ready to lose their turn. Okay, with that, we'll close public testimony. Representative Dyson.
Thank you, Chairman. We'll remove this bill out of committee with individual recommendations.
And I don't believe there was a fiscal note attached, was there? Shouldn't be.
Zero fiscal note.
Zero.
And zero fiscal note. Any objections? Seeing none, the bill is moved on to the Wonderful Resources Committee. And with that, we are adjourned.